book of Joshua, chapter number 3. If you enjoyed the singing this morning, say amen. Big difference in singing and singing. A lot of difference in whipping and whooping. We need to be a singing in the midnight hour. The book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Give you a little bit of background where we've been. Then we'll try not to be long in preaching. I've got a lot to say this morning. But I hope that you'll hear us gladly of what the Word of God's got to say to our hearts. We've been looking in the book of Joshua, one of the greatest books of the Old Testament. The Bible said in verse 1, Joshua rose early in the morning of chapter 3. They removed from Shittim. They came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the hosts. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, maybe many say from a half a mile to a mile. He said, don't come near unto it that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you're come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby shall know that the living God is among you. Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. Shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. That the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. It shall come to pass when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan, watch this, overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. The waters which came down from above stood and rose up a heap very far from the city of Adam, beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. The priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground till all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God this morning. Father, we love you. So we thank you for this time together. God, a very special time with your people. God, with your presence, singing your songs and have your word. Now we need you today, Lord. I'm a needy preacher. I pray, oh God, you'd help me to preach that I've studied, that you put in my heart. Help us to be a blessing. And I pray those, God, that are facing a big Jordan in their life today, God, would you help them to get over it by the grace of God. We'll be careful and honor you and thank you for everything you do for us in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask you and thank you. Amen. And amen. We've been talking about in past days on where Joshua 1 talked about and Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died. And we spoke that time on the missed blessing of the promised land. And therefore, as the law of Moses had stopped, it took us only as far as it could take us toward the promised land. It had taken them out of bondage of Egypt. Moses was their great leader, their mentor, their preacher. And Moses went up on a high mountain. God let him look over in there. Moses had rebelled against God. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock twice, lost his temper, become angry. And there God penalized him for being disobedient. And God let him look over into Canaan, into the promised land, but he wouldn't let him go in and enjoy it. He died. So that's the missed blessing of the promised land. I want to say this morning, it does matter how we act today and the decisions we make will affect our lives down the road, and never forget that. God will always forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done, but always remember this, there's always a repercussion of sin. Always has been and always will be. There was the missed blessing going to the promised land. Number two, there was a mighty bridge that was built over into the promised land. When Moses died, he raised up Joshua. He was Moses' minister. Therefore, what the law could not do, the same word as Joshua, it simply means Jesus. Aren't you glad that the law couldn't save you, but grace through Jesus Christ could save you? We preached on that mighty bridge into the promised land. Honey, I'm glad what the law could not do, Christ could do much more. And our heavenly Joshua took our place, held our hand, and is leading us over into the promised land. Then we talked about that mighty book into the promised land. He said, this book, don't let it depart out of your mouth all the days of your life. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad our book is still right today. We don't need a new Bible. We need to preach and live out of the one that God sent to us. We've seen the missed blessing, the mighty bridge. Then we've seen that marvelous book. But then, oh my, last Sunday, we've seen Rahab the harlot pulled that scarlet line and put it in a window. There we see the marvelous blood in the promised land. Aren't you glad that the blood is still washing old sinners clean? Isn't that amazing that in Joshua you'll find her as simply a harlot, or Rahab the harlot. After her name came sin. But then we found her in the book of Hebrews called the harlot Rahab. There's nothing after her name written yonder in glory. Also Matthew chapter number 1, you'll find the word there, Rahab again. The great, great grandmother of the psalmist David. Don't mention hers nothing exceptly Rahab. Aren't you glad that what God does, He does yonder in glory. What God done for you, nobody else could do. But I'm glad the blood of Jesus still washes us clean this morning. We've been preaching on the missed blessing, the mighty bridge, the marvelous book, the magnificent blood. This morning I want to pull a text verse in number 15 and preach on the muddy banks. The Bible said, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Now, I don't know of any of you that maybe you've been in the city life way too long, but if you ever get out in the country and you get around a river where the bank is overflowed, you'll find it being a very muddy place. Very slippery place. Isn't it amazing how God has taken 1 million people out of Egypt with all of their belongings, their cattle, their children, and they come to a place in their life that they cannot get across. I found out I might could get across Jordan if it had not overflowed and got out of his banks. But honey, I come to tell you this morning, there are Jordans come in your life that mean you cannot get across by ourselves. There are places that come, and it's a very difficult place. Oh my, a difficult place in our life when Jordan comes. I noticed by number 1 way of outline, there is an unexpected place. You know, I would love to tell you just because you're a Christian that you'd be immune to trouble. But I'm going to tell you today that as long as you live for God, you'll always find yourself many times in an unexpected place. It may be in your family. It may be in your children. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your job. It may be in your church. It may be in your life.
But I will promise you this, if you're going into the promised land that what God has for you, you'll realize there will be an unexpected place. For when you get under this place, you'll find out that there is insecurity. A lot of us, we want to have security in our job. But honey, let me tell you, when I was working many years for Pepsi-Cola, Pepsi-Cola was not my security. The stock market was not my security. But the God Jehovah was my security. And many times God will allow you to get to a difficult place that you can't get across to bring you insecurity. Nobody likes insecurity. We love to be able to fix things ourselves. This people just found themselves one day when they woke up. There their leader had gone and they had a place that they couldn't get across. Something had died in their life. Therefore it was a place of great insecurity. It was a place of insufficiency. They could not do this by themselves. You'll notice the Bible said in Joshua chapter number 3, verse number 2, said that it came to pass after 3 days. They sat there 3 days. You know something? Isn't it amazing how God will let us sit there and look at something that's incredibly hard? I'd love to say, God, would you take this burden away tonight? God, would you fix this problem today? But honey, I come to tell you this morning, there's times in our life that God lets some sunsets pass before He gives us a way of escape. He wants us to realize that we can do nothing without the Lord. In your addiction, you'll never get help until you realize you can't do it and you get sick of looking at it. In your trouble in your marriage, you'll never have a better marriage until you get sick and tired of what you got and you're staring at it and looking at it. In your church, you'll never get no better until you realize, honey, when you're tired of staring at deadness and staring at sadness, that then God can do something for you. But you got to be sick of where you are before you'll ever get over your Jordan. Boy, stayed there 3 days and let them look at their situation. It was a place of great insecurity. It was a place of great insufficiency. But I want to say this, it was a place that was insurmountable. Have you ever noticed this? The things you think that you could handle soon, they will handle you. Those saying you start to play with sin, before long sin will play you. Young people, I want to tell you something. Take this from your preacher this morning. If you're ever in a car and drugs are passed around, tell them to let you out. Call your mom and daddy, call a friend, or call your preacher. You don't have to go around with a crowd. Honey, I'm going to tell you one time you can do that. You can be hooked for a lifestyle. Mom and daddy, be careful what your eyes see on a computer or on a TV. Your mind will hit replay all the days of your life. And I'm going to tell you, you'll find out when you go to playing with sin not long, it will be playing you. A lot of people say, well, have a social drink. I tell you right now, that's your business, but I preach again it. I tell you why I preach again it. The Bible said that a man that'll look at it, he ain't very wise. If you're not careful, you'll get you a drink today and tomorrow it'll be a drink in you. You'll get you a joint of weed tomorrow and you'll be smoking it, but it won't be long. It'll be a smoke in you. You'll be a gambling today. Not for long, it'll be a gambling on you. You better be careful about sin. It'll take you further than you thought you'd ever go, friend. I'm telling you this morning, it'll always pay to serve God and trust Him in our daily walk of life. Now I'm going to tell you, there's an unexpected place. They got to Jordan. It had got out of his banks. It got muddy. It was a slippery place. I don't know about y'all, but I found out in a Christian life, I'd love to tell you I'm perfect, but I'd be lying this morning. I'd love to tell you that I've got everything conquered, but I ain't got enough time to tell them kind of lies. You'll remember that Moses thought he had a lid on something. He was the meekest man on the face of the whole earth, and he lost his temper. He became angry. Be careful. We're all human. None of us have arrived, and we need the Lord every day in our life. Be careful to say, that won't be my problem, because it'll be your issue, for the sun goes down. I'm not preaching to church members this morning. I'm preaching for people that's living for Jesus. I'm preaching for people that's made an impact in the life of other people and that God's made an impact in your life. Boy, I'd love to tell you I've arrived, but I have not arrived. I found that when the banks are overflooded at Jordan, it is a slippery place. I find myself falling down time after time again. But honey, I'm glad I serve a God this morning that just keeps a picking me up and giving me another chance by the good grace of God. I'm glad the grace of God will go where the law cannot go. It may be a slippery place, but I'm glad it's a fabulous place. I'm glad God will reach to where you are and set you on a solid rock this morning. It's a slippery place. I don't know about you. I don't care what kind of boots you wear. You be careful. You'll fall. I wear muck boots. They do pretty good till the cleats get full of mud. I don't care what kind of car tires you buy. Some of you drive them jacked up trucks saying, here you coming from down yonder at the store. Whoa, 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 whoa. But I can tell you what, in your jacked up truck, you get in a mud hole wrong, you're going to get stuck. I don't care what kind of tires you're running on your truck this morning. Honey, you get in some bad places and you're going to get stuck. It's going to get slick and you're not going to be able to get out. But ain't you, hallelujah, ain't you glad there's a God that'll send a wrecker your way and hook up to you and pull you out of the mud and put you in a good place in life. Glory to God. Oh my, it's an unexpected place. I don't know how many times in my life I've got stuck because it's unexpected. I didn't see the low place. I didn't see, thought sure I could make it, but it's a great day in my life and I'm learning this morning. I'm more convinced of what Jesus said. Without me, you can do nothing. But with Him, you can do anything. It's an unexpected place. And then I want to say not only unexpected place, but Brother Adam, there's an unexplored path. He said in verse 4, before they went across, he said, I want you to know something. He said, I want you to may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way heretofore. There's an unexplored path. It's a place of needed direction. Never been there before. I guarantee you when the sun come up this morning, some of you, you've been in a place now today that you never was there before. Maybe last Monday something happened and now you're in a place today that you've never been before. Maybe something happened last month and now today you're in a place you've never been before. It is an unexplored path. It's a place of very needed direction. There are families in this church this morning. You're in a difficult place and you need direction for your life. I need direction for my life. And I found out in order to get where you're going, you need to look in the map. Let me tell you, it's still right this morning. And I'm going to tell you, you may be here on an unexplored path and you need direction. Maybe here and you're on an unexplored path and you need discernment. You need to know what to do and how to do. Some of you need to quit acting like a bull in a china shop. Go to asking God how to sort your mess out. You done found out what you can do with it. Won't you turn it over to the Lord and see what He can do with it? Said so many times with my children, I'll fix that. Boy, as a young preacher, I had it all figured out. Me and Mama, throw them in them car seats, strap them behind us. Go to Lineville, Alabama, with his pastor down there at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Brother Randall and Miss Karen were there. Brother Randall was one of my first deacons. Man, we had everything figured out. Been preaching about 6-7 years and going to tell everybody how to raise children. They was pretty simple, Brother Mike, when we'd put them in a car seat in the van and they had to go where we put them in. They began to get up a little bit. And I had one child you could just snap your finger at and then melt. I'd snap my finger at another child. She'd get up in your face and say, well, come get you some. Found out them books didn't work at my house. Four steps of parental raising didn't work down in Bowden. I found out as a preacher, this is 21 years I've started by the grace of God in this place. I've heard some men, 8 steps how to build a church, but I found it don't work here. But I tell you what I found out will work here. The good God of the Bible that'll lead us and show us and give us discernment in this day and hour that we live. There's a church asked me to come speak at a conference in town. Want to know how our church was successful? I said, I ain't coming down there. He said, what do you mean you ain't coming? I said, I don't know how we're doing what we're doing. We're just serving God, lifting up His Son and preaching the Bible. And beside that, I don't run with people like y'all. Anybody got a woman in the pulpit, they ain't right with God. I ain't going to their meeting. And they sure, Lord, ain't coming here to this meeting. They can come sit down, but they ain't going to get behind that sacred desk. Bible said the husband of one wife. You better know what your Bible says. I ain't confused. I don't run with y'all. You know what they done? Click. I don't want to be mean, just want to be straight. But I ain't a compromising to fill a building up. I'm not going that way. Boy, I got a lot of preaching to do this morning. Some of y'all done got more than you can handle now. Preaching don't hurt you. It help you. So there's an unexpected place. There's an unexplored path. Some of you need direction. Some of you need discernment. And then some of you need decision. You need to know what to do. You ever been at a place in your life when you just didn't know what to do? Now, I know some of y'all got it all figured out. But I don't. There's some things sometimes I just scratch my head about. I just ain't got the answer. There's times in my life when I'm stopped. And here at Jordan, you know what it is? It keeps us from having progress in our spiritual life. I don't like to go backwards. Jordan had them stopped. There's some Jordans in your life that got you stopped. And what it's doing is keeping you from having progress in your spiritual life. The devil don't want you to go further. You young family sitting here this morning, the last thing the devil wants you to do is sit in a Bible preaching, King James Bible church, Holy Ghost filled with the altars is open and the Lord Jesus is glorified. And that's the last place He wants you to be on a Sunday morning. Some of you look for reasons. Well, I can tell you why I don't like that place because I got offended. But you keep going back and you buy groceries there. You buy your TVs there. They offend you there, but something real important. The devil will knock you out. Come on now. Jordan's a place where you need direction, discernment, and decisions. Anybody there this morning? I'm talking about something that's got you stopped. Something you just can't get over. And as I was preaching another Sunday morning, He didn't say go through it. I want you to go over it. Some of you need to get over it. Now I want to close with this thought, because you can't handle no more. I done been at it long enough to figure out you just can't take all I've got to give sometime. Some man got to use a little wisdom. Amen. Sort of like you order that 21-ounce bone-in outlaw up yonder. Your eyes bigger than your stomach. Bought me one other night. Praise God. That'll make a Baptist shout on a Saturday night. Stand in line with a beeper in your hand. They talk about we in a recession. You just ain't been down Longhorn on Saturday night. If we was in recession, that big possum I dodged this morning would be off the road. Come on now, help me this morning. Help me, you know I'm telling it right. Now this is going to help you. Ready? There's unexpected place. There's unexplored path. But there's also some unexamined preaching. I noticed when these people got in a tough place, they didn't start singing, they went to preaching. They didn't start dramatizing, they went to preaching. And you know what I've noticed in my life? I need preaching. You know, everybody's against iPhones, and yeah, I understand all that, but you know, you can look at the good in anything. I've got sites on this right here I can plug in, put down there where I study and where I sleep, and I listen to old men of God preach 45, 50 minutes. You know why? You know why I'm not listening to saints? Singing soothes the soul. And I need that at times. It's a mixture. It's a balance we need. But preaching shows me where I'm coming short. Preaching touches my spirit and helps me to get closer into the promise. Preaching helps me get further in the promised land. Now I want you to notice what Joshua done. Man, you're talking about a leader. Look what this man done. Now listen, there's a million people he's pastoring. There's a million people. Moses, their great patriarchs, died. You're talking about a man filling somebody's shoes. Look what he does, and I'll be done this morning. The unexpected place, unexplored path, but now the unexamined preaching. Verse number one, the Bible said, and they simply done this. He said he rose up early in the morning. We need to wake up. Some of you need to get your hide out of bed. Amen. Well, we won't go this morning because we laid out down yonder in Atlanta the one in the morning. That ain't God's fault. That's your fault. You know we was having church yesterday. Smile. Turn around and smile at somebody that's smart. You know we're having church this Sunday. Quit blaming it on everything else. We need to wake up. We need to get up. Early to bed, early to rise. Amen. Y'all make fun of me going to bed 7 you want to, but praise God for electric blankets. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm going to tell you, we started in. We got them dual remotes. Mine's on 3, hers on 7. But I do love it. And that bed's warm. I climb in under there. Brother Jake, and it warms these old bones. I told her last night about 7. I said, I'm going to get in my bed. She said, boy, you getting old quick. I said, no, I'm just going to bed early. Son, you getting to bed early, you wouldn't get so old so quick. Need to wake up. Verse 3. He said, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of Levites buried, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Some of us need to move up. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you always got. Need to move up. You know, I just don't want to go through the motions in anything. Man, let me tell you, we've got the greatest opportunity at Liberty Baptist Church to serve God of any generation that's ever been born. I know it's bad, but let me tell you, it's pretty good in here. And I hear tell it they have pretty good preaching here on Sunday night. And Wednesday night. Some of you need to move up and get out of that comfortable zone where you've been. You're not going to go any further what God's got for you till you move up. I want all God's got for me. Because you know what? I know it'll be right, and I know it'll be perfect, and I know it'll be something this world doesn't have to offer to me. Young people, there's nothing like serving our God. Wake up, move up. Verse number 4, he said this. He said, I want you to be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. I want you to stay maybe a half a mile behind. He said, I want you to line up. Boy, what you talking about? Yeah. That ark represented the presence of God. He said, don't get in front of that. Let everybody see Jesus out there in front of you. He said, be sure that you keep your hands off things. Let me tell you, there's not one family runs this church. The preacher don't even run this church. The Holy Ghost runs this church. And he does a pretty good job at what he does. And the best thing we can do is just get out of his way and let him lead. Amen. I don't have to report to no committees. I ain't got to check in with nobody but one. And He knows everything I'm doing and everything I'm saying. And if you don't like your preacher, just pray for me and love me and ask God to give me insight, direction, and power. I don't need you talking about me. I need you praying for me. Line up. Get in your place. Line up. And then, not only line up, but watch this, verse number 5. Boy, I like this verse. He said, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." We ought to clean up. You know, we hear a lot about promotions at church, but we don't hear much about purity. Hear a lot about promotions, but what happened to purity? What happened to people with morals? What happened? And I know some of you won't be back, but you got preaching one Sunday. Whatever happened to you opening a door for a lady? I remember in Gatlinburg one time, kids, a little member, they was there eating in a restaurant. You've heard me say it, but I'm going to say it again because it makes good preaching. Had a double foyer. Woman had twins and a little double stroller come in. I seen her coming on the sidewalk. Remember, they coming out of Ruby Tuesday. I went outside and opened the door up the sidewalk. She come in the foyer. I stepped back in, opened the door of the restaurant, opened it up for her, and she come through. You know what she said? "What you want, a tip?" I said, "Man, I'd love to give you a tip this morning. But I don't know, I could still be the preacher down at Liberty if I did that." Do you know what I'm saying? Some people will absolutely hurt your feelings being nice, but that don't change the situation. We ought to have morals about us. Our yea ought to be yea and our nay nay. We ought not need contracts to trade. What happened to a man's word, a handshake, and look in the eye? You young boys need to learn what a handshake is and look a man in the eye and let your yeah be yea and your nay, nay. And do what you say do. I don't care if it hurts you. I don't care if it cuts you. Do what you told somebody you'd do. Men, love you. Wives, as Christ has loved the church. You wonder why they ain't loving you? It may be your fault. I've noticed this. Jesus said, "Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you." Amen. Some of you ladies, you ought to get out of the way and let your husband be what God wants him to be at your house and support him and love him. Don't talk him down in front of other people, embarrass him and humiliate him. Lift him up and support him. Be good to him. Be good to each other. You know why we've been married 36 years? Because we wanted to be. Why, some of you'd walk my bathroom and take me to the lawyer. Toothpaste all over the mirror. Some of you need to work on your grill. Say amen right there and you know I'm a preaching right. You got to determine in your heart. We got to clean up and do right. Let me tell you something. God cannot do great things for us unless we do our part and clean up. There's a sanctification process. The way God found us, He took us, but He don't want us to stay that way. He wants us to grow in the grace of God and become more like Him every day that we live. And when we fall, we're to repent and confess our sins, ask Him to forgive us of our sins, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all of our sins. We pump all this media and TV into our mind. We have very little time in the Word of God and wonder why God ain't doing nothing for us or with us. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Boy, I tell you what. We sure do need to clean up. Sheriff, if you come. I got another hour and a half preaching, but I can't do it here this morning. Boy, he knowed what preaching to do, didn't he? He said, I tell you what I got to do. I got to share with y'all the Word of God and tell you how to get across this thing, get cleaned up. You know something? God uses vessels that are clean. Liberty Baptist Church, I'm glad it's full this morning. Why, any preacher would be silly wanting his church empty where God's put him to pastor. And I'm going to tell you, just like what Brother David said, there's some of the finest people I know here. Good people, godly people, salt of the earth people. What we better realize, God can't use our church in this community if we're dirty and if we're worldly. And we've got carnal, and church don't mean nothing to us, and preaching don't mean nothing to us, and the presence of God don't mean nothing to us. He said, I tell you, hey, go get across your Jordan, you got to clean up. Maybe the reason things ain't good at your house, you've not done what God's told you to do in your life personally. See, we're not robots. We've got to do what we know to do by the Word of God. Things in my life that I've had to react on and take care of myself, then God parts the waters. But I've got to do my responsibility. Can I read something? I guess I can. I'm a preacher. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want to give you something right here and then they're going to sing. 1 Thessalonians 4. I want you to look at this in verse 3. Not talking about promotions, talking about purity. Mom, Dad, it's simply just keeping your heart and life clean with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You know what that word means? It means purity. That you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. God wants to use you. But God don't use dirty vessels. I want my vessel clean. If there's ever been a time in my life, I want my vessel right. And I'm going to tell you something right now, just as honest as any preacher's ever told you, but it's a daily battle. It don't just happen. I got a purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You got to purpose that in your heart. God, I want to grow. I want to go further. I'm not happy just sitting here looking at my Jordan. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in verse 6. That means lying in any matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we've also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who saith also hath given unto him his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves you're taught of God to love one another. Indeed, you do it toward all the brethren that's in Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. That you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. My, what a word. No, we're not perfect, but we can be clean. Some of you are facing big Jordans in your life. You need help. I've got them in my life. I need help. I'll be the first one to say I need help. And tonight I hope I get to finish and get us across. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's time to move up. It's time to wake up. It's time to line up. And it's time to clean up. Would you respond to the Spirit of God this morning as these young men sang, open these altars. You may be